grab your Bibles, go to the book of Jeremiah chapter 33. Jeremiah chapter number 33. Remain standing, remain standing, remain standing. You can tell who's tired this morning. Remain standing as we read and honor the Word of God. I want to read beginning in verse number 10 of Jeremiah 33. My thought this morning is going to center around one little thought. And my thought is this: will the voice return? Will the voice return? Jeremiah 33 and verse number 10. The Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord, again there shall be heard in this place, which ye shall say shall be desolate, without man and without beast, even in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem that are desolate, without man and without inhabitant and without beast, the voice of joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for His mercy endureth forever, of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. For I will cause to return the captivity of the land as at the first, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, again in this place which is desolate, without man, without beast, and in all the cities thereof, shall be an habitation of shepherds, causing their flocks to lie down. In the cities of the mountains, and in the cities of the vale, and in the cities of the south, and in the land of Benjamin, in the places about Jerusalem, and in the cities of Judah, shall the flocks pass again under the hands of him that telleth them, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. And in those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness." I want you to be seated this morning. If you take notes in your Bible, you'll understand that the writing upon which we have read was written by a man whose name was Jeremiah the prophet. Jeremiah the prophet, he would have been one of the last prophets that would have written during the time whenever the king of Israel sat on the throne. He is writing during this time in chapter number 33, and the man on the throne, his name is Zedekiah, king of Judah. Zedekiah has been placed up by Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar has encamped outside of the city. Why? Here's why. Because payday has come for God's people. They have sinned so long. They have abominated so much. They have turned so much. They have walked away from God too long. They have sinned too high. And they have written a check. And the day has come for God to cash that check. The day has come and God has said, "All right, boys, you have done things your way. You have accomplished things your way. You have tried to do things your way. You've lived your way. And now I am going to make you pay the piper." And in chapter number 29, through the beginning of the book, Jeremiah gives prophecies about what will happen. If you ever decide to think that God does not pay for sin harshly, you need to read the first 29 chapters of the book of Jeremiah. He tells Jeremiah, "I'm telling you, boys," he said, "they're going to burn down your city. They're going to burn down your walls. They're going to burn down your houses. They're going to take your women. They're going to rip apart your children. They're going to deport your young boys. They're going to make slaves of your young girls. They're going to take your king and put out his eyes. They're going to kill his sons. They're going to destroy everything you've ever known. They're going to burn your temple. They're going to burn the temple vessels. They're going to destroy them." And that is exactly what came to pass. Because you cannot sin and get away with it. And the other issue with sin that the Bible teaches us is you always sow, but you always reap far more than you sow. How many of you know that one grain of corn, it yields a whole stalk that will yield a whole whole lot of husks that yield a whole lot more kernels. How many of you know that when you sow one cucumber seed, it will bring up a vine that will yield many, many, many cucumber seeds? How many of you know that one chicken can lay a lot of eggs, and thus sin is paid with a heavy price? You may commit one, but you will pay two. You may commit four, but you will pay eight. You may do 10, but you will pay 20. Brothers and sisters, it never pays to sin, and sin always pays. Brothers and sisters, may I remind you that there is a heavy price for rebelling against the God of heaven. But that is chapter 1 through chapter number 29. Because you get in chapter number 30 through chapter number 36, and this is what Jeremiah says. He says, I've got a word from God, and this is the word. God is going to judge. God is going to destroy. God is going to cast down. God is going to overthrow, but He is not going to leave it broken down. He is not going to leave it cast down. He is not going to leave it destroyed, because what God breaks, God will rebuild. What God tears down, God will build back up. You say, preacher, why would God do that? Number one, because God is a forgiving God. You understand this morning that whenever God decides that He's going to forgive sin, there's not anything in this world that the demons can do or the devils can do that will make Him change His mind. And let me say this to you this morning. You cannot sin a sin so great. You cannot go so far out. You cannot jump so down deep. You cannot run so far out that way that the love of God in Christ Jesus will not forgive you. Ladies and gentlemen, may I remind you this morning, honey, I felt a lick this morning about the time I hit this point, and I just felt that lick again. Say amen right there. This is what I have to say. You can't sin so bad, you can't hurt God so much, that the loving arm of God, like a mother over her children, He will forgive you. How many of you mamas know it does not matter what your youngin' does, you will not cast them out. You will not. I don't care if they rob every dime you have. I don't care if they burn your house down. I don't care if they unscramble your eggs. There is nothing that your youngin' can do to get you to hate them so much that you will not forgive them. How much so the good God of eternity that bought us, sought us, and wrought us with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will forgive us of all sin. He will forgive us of all iniquity. He will forgive us of all transgression. If we will but repent and with a heart of contriteness and contrition say, oh God, we have sinned greatly. We've turned our back on You. Our God is forgiving. Number two, our God is faithful. You understand that there has not been one person in all of the Word of God that sinned so great a sin and God broke them down with a great breaking and they repented, that God did not turn around and rebuild them. There is not one person in all of the Word of God that did not come with humility of heart and contrition of spirit and say, God, I've wronged You. I've wronged Your Word. I've sinned against Your holiness. I've sinned against Your name. I'm blasphemed Your greatness and Your goodness. I am wrong. Ladies and gentlemen, God never one time said, I'm going to leave you beat down. I'm going to leave you broken down. I'm going to leave you knocked down. No, ladies and gentlemen, because our God is faithful. And what He breaks, He will rebuild. You say, I don't believe it. Well, you read to the end of chapter number 33, and this is what God says to Judah. He says, I'm going to break you, but I will rebuild you. I'm going to tear you down, but I'm going to pick you back up. He says, you know how I know that? Because I made a covenant with David, and I will not break that covenant with David. He said, I will break the covenant that I made with the sun, the moon, and the stars. I'll break the covenant that I made with the sun in the morning. I'll break the covenant that I made with the moon at night. You got a better chance of the stars falling out of their sockets. You got a better chance of the sun not burning in the daytime and the moon not shining at night. He said, because I made a covenant with David, and I will keep that covenant for 1,000 generations, ladies and gentlemen. If God keeps the covenant that He made with David, how much more so the covenant that He made with Jesus Christ because of the blood of the spotless Lamb of God, honey. You can't go so far out that God won't save you. You can't go so far out that God won't forgive you. And you can't mess up so bad that God won't rebuild you back up. Now, this morning, here is what I'm thinking. As I began to look at this last night at about 1:45, I told Bob this morning, I don't understand. You know the verse in the book of Jeremiah says, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are high above your thoughts, as the heavens are far above, my knowledge, all this stuff. I understand that. I know I can't fathom God. I know I can't understand God. But I really wish God would just throw me a bone every now and again. All week long, I spend 80% of my time in this Bible. I'm studying. I'm thinking. I'm praying. I'm pondering. I'm begging God for something. And I bet you by the time I get to Saturday night at 11:30, God's already given me six messages. At least six or seven outlines. But honey, they're no better to wad up and to throw in the fire, because I promise you every Saturday night at 11:30, God's going to say, all right, son, are you done doing things your way? And I invariably say, yes, sir, Lord, I'm done trying to get a message. I'm done trying to do this. You tell me what you want. And invariably, God gives me the message that he wants me to preach. Now, I don't understand the ways of God, the thoughts of God, but this is what I was thinking last night. Some of y'all are visiting this morning. You're thinking, what is wrong with that boy? I have a severe case of ADHD. And I'm out of Ritalin, and the store won't have any for a few more weeks, so you just have to get over it and just follow me along the way, all right? Here's what I got to thinking last night. Here's what I was wondering. It says back in our text verse beginning in chapter number 33, verse number 10 and 11, it starts talking about a voice. It begins saying, he begins telling them that you're going to again hear something. You're going to again begin to decipher a voice in your ear. Now, this is what that tells me. What that tells me is that some point they had heard a voice in the past, but today where they were at, they were not hearing a voice. Because if they weren't now, that's how God said, okay, over here, you're going to hear the voice again. Here is my question. What is a voice? A voice is the audible sound that a human being makes. The voice is an audible sound that a person makes. So here's what that means. What it means is that either A, they have stopped listening, or B, that person has stopped talking. And that is what's happened here to Judah. God has tried to talk to them and speak to them and get a hold of them, so much so, and they would not listen. They put their spiritual fingers in their spiritual ears and they said, no, God, I will not listen. And God has gone silent. And God has said, that's fine. You do things your way, and you'll pay the piper, and you'll do things how you want to do it, and you'll have to pay what I'm telling you you're going to have to pay. But God says this, I'm going to again speak to them. I'm going to again come back, and I'm going to again get in their presence. I'm going to again lift up my voice, and they're going to begin to decipher my ear. They're going to begin to decipher my voice. They're going to begin to decipher what I'm saying. And when I speak, I'm going to bring to them the voice of joy and gladness. I'm going to bring to them the voice of praise. I'm going to bring to them the voice of happiness. I'm going to bring to them the voice of goodness. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at people this morning, and down deep inside, there was a time in your soul when you could decipher the voice of God. You would open up your Bible, and it would be like words jumping up off the pages. You didn't understand them all, but it was like God was there, and God was speaking. You've been before brothers and sisters in church, and you couldn't wait to get up. You couldn't wait to go to church. You didn't care if the preacher had a service at 11, at 8:45, at 6:45, at 4:45, or at 2:45, you were going to be there because there was something drawing you about the voice of God that would speak to you there in the house of God. But that voice has gone silent. That voice has grown cold. You cannot hear it anymore. And you're wondering, preacher, what is going on? Why can I not hear the voice? Ladies and gentlemen, two things. There's one, the reason you can't hear the voice. Either A, the person has stopped talking, or B, something is blocking you being able to hear that person speaking. Now, I'm taking all this, and I'm trying, and I know y'all are looking at me like half staring at a gate. Just hold on, I'm going to take you somewhere, but I got to get you to where I'm going to take you before I can go where we need to go. Here's what I'm trying to think. I'm trying to surmise everything that the Bible says. And does your Bible not say this? It says in the Old Testament, I am the Lord thy God. I will not forsake thee. I will not fail thee. I will not leave thee. I will not cast thee aside. Does the New Testament not say, I am a friend that sticketh, or the Old Testament say, I'm a friend that sticketh closer than a brother? The New Testament in Hebrews said, I will never forsake thee. I will never abandon you. So if God never abandons me, that means that God is always with me. That means that God has not cast me to the side. That means that God has not left me on my own. Time out. Aren't you glad you've got a God that doesn't get so mad at you that he says, I'm through with you. I'm done with you. I'm finished with you. You're useless to me. I'm casting you out. You have no good. You've sinned too much. I'm through. I'm done. I'm walking away. So it couldn't be that God has forsaken us. So there must be something else going on. You say, preacher, what is that? Here's what it is. We have this stuff in our life, and it's called sin. It's called iniquity. It's called transgression. And it is forming a spiritual earwax in our spiritual ears, and we're not able to decipher the voice of God anymore because something has built up between the sound of God's voice and our spiritual eardrum. Ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you something? There is nothing nastier, there is nothing more disgusting than when you take your kids to the doctor and the doctor's doing that checkup. They take that, they're like, Mason, take your shirt off. And Mason, he takes his shirt off and reveals he's nothing but skin and bones. And they say, Ella, take your shirt off. And little thing takes her shirt off and she unveils that she's nothing more than a butterball turkey. And they're listening and they're doing all that stuff. And they look in their little nose and they look in their little throat and they check everything out. And then they get out that thing that they pull off the wall. They stick that cap on that little light and they go into their ear. And let me tell you something, men and women, you have never been more embarrassed than when the doctor looks in that ear and says, oh my goodness, I want to crawl under a table. I want to crawl under a chair. When that doctor says, oh, how often do you bathe these children, Reverend? How often do these kids get a bath, Pastor? Where are you a pastor at? I said, I'm a pastor at the local Methodist church over here in Burlington. I pastor right down the road over there. And they're saying, my goodness. And they get in there with that little wand. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about. And they get in there and they begin digging around and they begin pulling out all of that gobs of earwax that looks like that they have absolutely shoved raisins in their ear. And all of a sudden, the doctor says, can you hear me now, honey? And he says, yeah. And I've been whipping his tail and yelling at him because I said, don't you listen to me, boy. Come on, son, listen. And the poor thing was as deaf as he could be, as if he stuck a cue ball in his ear. You know what had happened? What had happened was he had gotten something that had blocked between the voice and his listening mechanism inside of his head. And you know what that is spiritually? We get into this life and we get into sin and we get into all these different things and it blocks the spiritual flow of the voice of God. And some of you here this morning, you say, preacher, that's where I'm at. I feel like God's gone silent. I feel like God has abandoned me. Let me remind you this morning, God hadn't abandoned you and God hadn't stopped speaking to you and God is not off the throne and God hadn't stopped being God and he hadn't stopped being good and he hadn't stopped, but we got to get that spiritual earwax out so that we can hear the voice of Almighty God. Now, here's what he says. He says the voice is going to come back and you're going to once again have all of this stuff. Now, here's the question. How's it going to come? How is all of this stuff going to come? Well, it tells me in verse number 15 the answer to that. Verse number 15, it says, in those days, at that time, I will cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David. God says, what is going to cause the voice of God to once again come alive to you? What is going to cause the voice of God to once again give you joy? And what's going to cause the voice of God once again to give you praise? What's going to cause the voice of God again to once again be God, do what it's supposed to do? It's going to take a branch. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm just about as country as they come on some of this stuff. And I'm kind of sitting here wondering as I read this, what in the world are you talking about, God? What is it about a branch that's going to do something for me on the inside that I'm once again going to be able to decipher and walk with the God of heaven? You're telling me that there is something that can come into my life, something that I can be in lockstep with, something that I can hold on to, something that can hold on to me, something that can grab a hold of me and I can grab a hold of it and it can speak to me. What is that something? Well, it's not a something, but it is a someone. Now, how do I know that? Well, I want you to look back. I want you to look back at that word branch. In your Bible, in your King James Bible, does that anything about that word strike you? anything about the word branch strike you? It's spelt normal, but what strikes me about that word is it begins with a capital B. That capital B, it indicates that that is describing someone. Now look, I barely made it through school. I don't know how in the world I made it through college. And I don't have any idea how they let me just keep on going past that. I barely made it through English. But I did learn this about English. This is what I learned. I learned that anytime anything that is normal is capitalized, it is describing someone that is very unique. I gave this illustration this morning to the young people, and I'll give it again. You do realize that 50 Cent is truly 50 Cent. But whenever 50 Cent describes somebody, it is now capitalized, and now it's 50 Cent. You got what I'm saying? Because now it describes somebody, it is a proper noun. It is describing a person. And you realize that branch is a branch, is a branch. But whenever it is describing someone, whenever it is describing somebody, then it has become unique. It has become special. And I'm going somewhere, and I just about got to the place. I'm going to park the car and hit on it for just a minute. You say, preacher, what is it about that branch? Who is that branch describing? Well, that branch, because it's capitalized there, it's got to be describing somebody that's awful special. It's got to be describing somebody that's awful unique. It's got to be describing somebody that ain't never been anybody like him. It's got to be describing somebody that there's only one somebody that's ever been like that somebody, and there'll never be another somebody that's ever come close to that somebody. It's got to be describing somebody that's so unique that nobody has ever been like that somebody, because if anybody had ever been like that somebody would be a nobody, but that somebody is a somebody because there ain't ever been anybody like that somebody. I'm telling you this morning about a somebody, the great somebody of all eternity. He's Jesus Christ, the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the bright and the morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000. He walks among the thorns, and he walks among the roses, and he walks among the lilies. He's the one that conquered death, conquered hell, conquered the grave. He's Moses' lamb, and he's Aaron's high priest. He is the cloud by day, the fire by night. He's the bread. He's the water. He's the rock. He's the anvil. He is everything that he claimed to be. And a whole, honey, I'm choking on my spit up here. So I'm just going to swallow right quick because I want to keep on going. Ladies and gentlemen, he's David's sling. He's David's rock. He's David's giant slayer. He's Elijah's fire. He's Elijah's sword. He's Elijah's spear. He's Elisha's wave walker. He's Elijah's river maker. He's the one that heaped up the mountains and rolled back the sunsets. He's the one that puffed up the clouds and put the stars in their socket. He made the planets, and he made the moon, and he made everything that there it is. He made that sun so big that it flamed up with fire, and then it was so small in the presence of him. He said, I want you to stay right there and don't you move a muscle. He made that moon and he made it so big like a big piece of cheese in the sky, but it was so big that we can't touch it, but it's so small. Whenever he said, don't move, it hadn't moved an inch in all of this time. Ladies and gentlemen, he's so big that the demons cower to him. He's so big that every knee is going to bow to him. He's so big that every tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord to the glory of God the Father. So what I'm trying to tell you is he's the great somebody. He's the only somebody. He's God's somebody, and there ain't ever going to be anybody like that great somebody. I'm telling you, in the light of that somebody, everybody else is a nobody. So let me tell you today about the great somebody who is the only somebody. He's God's somebody, and he's the only one that I want to have anything to do with. He's Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, I got this in between church, and I didn't give this to the first service, so let me give this to the second service. What else, how else could we describe that branch? Do you know what the Hebrew word for branch is? The Hebrew word for branch, it is the word Nazareth. Nazareth. Now here's my point. Do you remember in the New Testament, Nathanael, they tell him that there's a prophet that's come out of Nazareth. And Nathanael says, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Boy, you know what they were thinking? They were thinking and they were saying, there's nothing good that can come out of a branch. Nothing good that can come off of a Nazareth branch. But Jesus said, oh yeah, something real good can come off of a branch, and I am he. I'm the one that's going to die for you. I'm the one that's going to live for you. I'm the one that's going to resurrect for you. I'm the one that's going to change you. I'm the one that's going to touch you. I'm the one that's going to do everything for you. Ladies and gentlemen, this morning, this branch in the Old Testament, it is the Jesus Christ of the New Testament. There's never been a sweeter name. There's never been a higher power. There's never been a greater good. You say, preacher, you're preaching a long time. Remember, I ain't going to be here tonight to preach, so I got to get all these messages in one time. Say amen right there. I'm just telling you right now, He's a good God. He's a holy God. He's a gracious God. And there's never been anybody like Jesus Christ. But why would they call Him a branch? The branch has got to describe. So here's what I'm going to do. Last night at about 1 o'clock, I got out my dictionary and my encyclopedia. And I got to looking up what a branch is. And I'm not going to try to convince you. I'm going to try to maintain my dignity this morning. And I'm just going to tell you what the dictionary and encyclopedia said about a branch. And you tell me if it describes anybody that you could possibly think of. Number one, a branch is a little piece of something much bigger. You understand that when you go out here in our little yard, and if you look out here, you're going to look at big trees. You're going to see a tree trunk. And on that tree trunk, it's going to shoot straight up. But coming out of it is a branch. That branch, you know what it is? It's the same thing as that tree trunk. But it's different from that tree trunk. Because if it wasn't different from that tree trunk, then that tree trunk would just be a big, big tree trunk. But because that tree trunk has a different branch, a different offshoot of it, it has something that connects it to the original. But that little branch, you know what it does? It points you back. And it says, there's more where this came from. There's more where I came from. And when you get back to the original part of where I came from, you're going to find there is something a whole lot bigger. You know what Jesus said in John 1? He said, I have come to declare the Father. No man has ever seen the Father, but the Son of Man who came from His bosom hath declared Him. This is what I know. I know Jesus walked on water, but the God that He came from, He's the one that created the water. I know Jesus Christ healed the man with the withered hand, but I know the God that Jesus came from, He's the one that made that hand and allowed it to be withered and made the cure and the creation for it. I know Jesus, I know He brought bread and fed 5,000, but aren't you glad you know the God that made the wheat and the flour that made that bread so that He could feed the 5,000? I'm talking about the God that can do anything. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. He's the one that created, He's the one that made, and He's the one that died. But when you look at Jesus Christ, you're just looking at the tip of the iceberg. You say, preacher, how good is Jesus? Jesus is so good that He'll save me in this life and take me into the next life. You say, preacher, how big is God the Father? God the Father's so big that we're going to have to look at Him and worship Him for all of eternity. And when 10,000 million billion years have ended, we will just have started to sing the first verse of God's eternal song. You say, preacher, how big and long and good is God? Here's how big and long good God is. You realize that right now, if one little bird, if he went down to the Atlantic Ocean and picked up one grain of sand and flew that sand all the way to the moon, and he rested on the moon after dropping off that one piece of sand, and he rested there for 1,000 years. And then he came back to earth, picked up one more grain of sand, and went and put it back on the earth and dropped it off. If he rested 1,000 more years, and he did that until every piece of sand, every speck of dirt, every grain of everything was finally carried away, and the earth was now on the moon. Ladies and gentlemen, do you realize that when that bird got done doing all that, we will just have started the first second of the first hour of the first day of the first month of the first year in all of eternity. Honey, I'm going to a place where death won't touch me. Why? Because Jesus Christ conquered death, hell, and the grave. And because He's the big part of something little, honey, it's going to be great up there. That's a branch. It's a little piece of something big. Number two, you know a branch is an offshoot of the trunk? You see, a branch has to be the same as the trunk, otherwise it's not a tree. But it has to be different from the trunk. Otherwise, it's just a trunk. So I got to looking at that, and I thought, Lord, I know You're perfect and everything, but I think You might have made a mistake on that. I got to ponder, and I got to thinking. So You're telling me that Jesus has got to be just as much God as God, but He's got to be different from God, otherwise He'd be all God. But if He's not all God, then He won't be all God. But You're telling me He's got to be all God, but He's got to be something else at the same time so He can be different? You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, the Bible tells us that our Jesus, He is all God and He's all man. He's all God at the same time that He's all man, and He's all man at the same time that He's all God. He's 100% man and He's 100% God. So here's what I'm telling you. He's the same as God, the tree trunk, and He's different from God because He's the branch. You say, how can that be? Here's how it can be. Because from eternity past, way back yonder in the middle of no time and nowhere, Jesus Christ always has been and He always will be. But one day came in Bethlehem and He was born of the Virgin Mary, but He's got to be all man. So how can that be? Because if He's all man, then He's got sin, and if He's got sin, then He can't be all God. So this is the great quandary. How can He be a part of the trunk and a part of the branch at the same time? It's called the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. He was conceived in the womb of Mary, therefore He has everything that Mary is. He has the same mindset as Mary. He's got the same mentality as Mary. He's got the same physical body as Mary. He's got the same leg as Mary. He's got the same eyes as Mary. He's got the same physical. He is man in flesh. He's flesh. He's flesh. He's flesh. But if He's all Mary, then He's going to be full of sin. So there's got to be something that comes in the way that makes Him all God at the same time that He's all man. You say, preacher, what is that? Here's what I know. I study a little bit about physics and a little bit about biology and a little bit about anatomy. This is what I know. I know that whenever a man and a woman come together and they have a baby, that the man's seed, it meets the woman's seed. And the man's seed, when it meets the woman's seed, the man's seed, it brings most of the blood. The woman, it gives the baby all the nutrients. It gives the baby the growth pattern and the growth process and the ability to grow. And coming through the placenta and coming through the umbilical cord, that's what feeds the baby. But you realize that egg will never live until it hits the seed of that man. Honey, inside of Mary were a bunch of little eggs, and those eggs were dead in their own way until the Holy Ghost of God in power, He came and conceived inside of her, and inside of her grew the God-man. All man because He came from Mary, and all God because He came from God. He was the branch. How could He be the branch, honey? Because He's everything at the same time. He's all God and He's all man. You say, how do you know that? Because the Bible teaches it, and that's all I got to know about the thing. You say, explain it. Number three. Number three, I know a branch is a little piece of something big. Number two, a branch is an offshoot of a trunk. Number three, a branch is a tree. So here's what you're telling me, preacher. You're telling me that my joy is going to return because of a tree? What is so special about a tree that would make my joy return? Well, if I were to go out into my little woods, the little oak trees, pine trees, and cedar trees that I have out there wouldn't do you a whole lot of good. Everything I got going on out there, it wouldn't help you any. But if you get on a plane with me in November, and we trek halfway around the world and we land in Tel Aviv, we climb on a bus and we go all the way down into Jerusalem. We'll pull into Jerusalem, we'll get out of that bus, and we'll get on the Via Dolorosa. As we walk outside the Via Dolorosa, we'll get off the beaten path. And on the outside of the Via Dolorosa, right outside the city walls of Jerusalem, there is a little place called the Place of the Skull. They call it Calvary. They call it Golgotha. They call it the place where criminals were crucified. And on that hill one day 2,000 years ago, there stood a man. And that man was the God-man. He was Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, and God all at the same time that He was all man. And ladies and gentlemen, He died on that hill, but He didn't die from being hung, and He didn't die from being stabbed, and He didn't die from being shot. Do you know how He died? He died because He was crucified on a tree. Ladies and gentlemen, you know why joy comes from a tree? Because in that tree I realized He died my death. He paid my price. He paid my penalty. Everything I deserved, He took. Everything I was, He was made to be. Everything that He was, it came on me. And everything God has now becomes mine. Why? Oh, because of a tree, honey. I'm telling you this morning about the branch of God. I'm telling you about the tree of God, and it's called Jesus Christ, the one that died on Calvary's Hill. It wasn't the miracles of God that saved us. It was the cross of Christ. It wasn't the life of God that saved us. It was the cross of Christ. It wasn't anything that He did in His life that saved us. It was the cross of Jesus Christ that gave us life and gave us hope and gave us grace and gave us goodness and gave us mercy, honey. It was the cross, the cross, the cross. Oh, because of the cross, now I have joy. I gotta go. I'm not gonna give you the fourth one. I'm gonna go to the fifth one because there's somebody struggling. I'm done. I'm going to give you the fifth thing that I learned about a branch. And I think this is going to help somebody because I can look in your eyeballs and God bore witness with my soul. I read in that encyclopedia, you know what a branch does? A branch holds fruit. You realize there's nothing that fruit can do to stay attached to that branch. That fruit, it can't shake itself off. That fruit can't jump off. That fruit can't wiggle off. A bird can't take that fruit off. As long as the branch is strong enough, that fruit is secure because of the strength of the branch. There are some of you that have struggled with this and dealt with this and hammered with this and the devil's got you with this, and that is you have messed up so bad that God's lost you. Well, maybe you were never His. Let me close my Bible, park my 10 and a half right here and say this. The same God that saved you is the same God that keeps you. The same God that wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life is the same God that keeps your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. The same God that birthed you into the family of God is the same God that keeps you in the family of God. The same God that saved your soul is the same God that keeps that soul saved. You say, preacher, how do you know? Here's how I know. 1 Peter chapter number 1, the Bible says that we are kept by the power of the living God. And the devil can't shake us off the tree, and the world can't shake us off the tree, and the church can't shake us off the tree, and the preacher can't shake us off the tree, and the deacons can't shake us off the tree, and the church can't shake us off the tree, and the Democrats can't shake us off the tree, and the Republicans can't shake us off the tree, and the independents can't shake us off the tree, and Obama and your mama and Osama and Trump and none of the other ones can shake us off the tree. Honey, I'm saved, I'm signed, I'm secure, I'm kept by God, I'm kept by the Spirit, I'm waiting to be delivered. Honey, God's got me, God's got you, and God's got everybody that's ever been given to Him. And the last time I checked, He's got a perfect track record. He's never messed up anybody. He's never lost anybody. He's never fooled around with anybody. He's never going to lose you, and He's never going to lose me. I am kept and secure, and I'm waiting to be delivered, all because of the branch of God, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. I don't know what you're dealing with, but I do know the branch of God is all you need. And on that, let all God's people say, amen. Father, I've done everything that I could to preach the Word. I've done everything in my power to be faithful to proclaim it. And so now I pray, oh God, glorify Your name. Fill us with Your Spirit. Fill us with Your power. Draw us to Your side. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Let's stand together this morning or this afternoon.